good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, he didn't cut it.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, Cudahy to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. My name is Distant Thunder, Wendy.
It's mm-hmm.
a good name,
it
isn't
is
it?
A good name.
Hey, my colonized name is Robert Pilot, and we discuss national and Twin City Native American news and events. And as we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline. Call them at 651-304-9986. They're open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Well, that was a good one. Hey, so how you been doing? It's humid today.
Been doing good.
I've been in all day. I took a walk early this mm-hmm. morning and got sweaty. And, you know, we're still dealing with the drought.
Yeah.
I think.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, cut our grass in 2 weeks.
We haven't had any rain. It rained a little bit. It rained, what, an inch? Not even an inch. It's all dried up. It's all dried up already. So
I know.
Yeah, it's feeling a bit even warm in this room right now.
Yeah, well, we're going to have Wisconsin State Senator Jeff Smith on today, and he's always awesome and
mm-hmm.
full of positive energy and supporting Native Americans in Wisconsin and all over Turtle Island. So mm-hmm. I'm excited. And then you have your animal segment,
your sacred animal. Yeah, I'm going to make it a little bit of fun today, and we're even going to have more fun tomorrow. So.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Hey, I can't wait. So it's great. I'm an enrolled member of Ho-Chunk Nation,
mm-hmm.
and we have Ogama, who does the news and all talks about things that you don't hear anywhere else on a daily basis like we do here with Ogama. And I know she puts a lot of work in that. So welcome, Ogama, to Native Roots Radio, and do your thing.
Hi, Buju, everybody. This is Ogama Kanuakwe. I'm just going to kind of get right into it because this is just kind of nagging on me. This is from thehill.com. The Biden administration is backing the Trump administration's approval of the Line 3 pipeline project in Minnesota in a new legal filing. In a legal brief, which was filed Wednesday, the Justice Department argued that the Army Corps of Engineers' 2020 approval of a permit for Enbridge's Line 3 oil pipeline followed its legal obligation to consider the project's environmental impacts. The ruling read that the Corps met its obligations by preparing environmental assessments, which included consideration of the impacts from the Corps' authorizations, including to wetlands, the climate, low-income and minority populations, tribal rights to hunt and fish and gather, and all of the issues to which plaintiffs draw special attention. It asked the court to reject arguments brought by tribes and environmentalists that the federal government didn't adequately assess the project's environmental impacts and instead affirm the pipeline's approval. So, like, all of that right there, that the Corps met its obligations to wetlands, low-income and minority populations, tribal rights, and the climate, like, all of those things are clearly not met with the Line 3 pipeline project. So it's just, like, absolutely blowing my mind right now that they just voted to affirm that. And, you know, once again, we're at an impasse where the White Earth Nation just recently sent a letter about the water draw permits that Enbridge was given an increase on from about 300,000 gallons to now about 4.8 billion gallons. And the federal government is again telling indigenous people that their voice, it doesn't mean anything, that they don't know what's going to affect their wild rice harvest, despite the fact that wild rice has been sacred to Native people for roughly 12,000 years. You know, like, I'm just kind of, like, I'm wondering if anybody actually read it. Like, that's kind of the point that I'm at. I don't know how you feel about that, Robert. How are you feeling about it today?
No comment. I mean, really, right, Wendy? My goodness. I think the battle is just beginning.
Things that make perfect sense are not making any sense. We're living in the upside-down world.
I would agree. So now moving on to where I talk about some upcoming events. There's a new event that's coming up next Monday, June 28th. There's going to be a live concert at the Great Mississippi River Honor the Earth is hosting a free live concert with the Indigo Girls and Annie Humphrey at the Great River Road in Palisade, Minnesota on June 28th. So the Indigo Girls, the Indigenous artist Annie Humphrey and Sharon Day, and other special guests are going to play a free concert near Palisade. I don't know if you guys know this, but the co-founders of Honor the Earth, 27 years ago Honor the Earth was founded. The co-founders are Winona LaDuke and the Indigo Girls. So fun fact for you there, and they're very pleased to announce the special concert. A live stream of the event will be available through Honor the Earth and the Welcome Water Protector Center on Facebook. Donations, however, are highly encouraged, even though this is a free event. If you would like to join in person, please remember there is limited seating capacity of 250 people. You are encouraged to reserve a ticket by going to bit.ly/protecttheriver show. Also coming up on Monday, if you're not aware of the dangers of Line 3 in Minnesota, on Monday, June 28th at 7 p.m. is going to be the ABCs of Line 3, hosted by MN350. That is an hour-long Zoom session that covers the history, how the pipeline will impact the land, water, and climate, and how the pipeline affects Native communities. It also talks about the Indigenous-led movements to oppose the pipeline and how you can help. I just want to put it out there as a reminder that water protectors are all working hard at all the camps, which include Camp McGeezy, where they're facing helicopter flyovers, dust kickups, and more while working to build a sweat lodge on the site. The Welcome Water Protectors camp near Palisade, Minnesota, where Tanya Abed and others are standing ground at a lodge on the banks of the Mississippi River. The Red Lake Treaty camp, where they faced eviction yesterday after a violent arrest and police dogs being present. And then the impending eviction was later rescinded. The Shell River Camp, which is on the Shell River near the Huntersville State Forest, where they have also faced harassment. And that all water protectors involved at this time are facing incredibly taxing conditions in the middle of drought-like conditions with low water levels, high fire risk, and frequent harassment by the police and other members of the Northern Lights Task Force, Securitas private security firm, and in some cases even locals who don't really, I don't think, realize the risks that are being ignored to complete this pipeline. In other news, I want to touch base on what's going to happen also next Monday. From the office of Senator Mary Kunish, who we'll have on tomorrow, the Minnesota Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women Task Force co-chairs Nicole Matthews and Senator Mary Kunish are going to provide an overview of the work done by the task force. And that is going to be on Friday, June 25th at 11 a.m. in the Minnesota Capitol Press Room, B971. Another thing that I want to touch base on, everybody, and I'm going to give you a number for it. So if you're having a hard time with all the recent discoveries at the residential schools, here's a breakdown of kind of what we know so far. There's been 215 bodies discovered at Kamloops in British Columbia, 104 discovered in Brandon, Manitoba, 38 discovered in Regina, Saskatchewan, 35 at the Mission in Musqueam in Saskatchewan, 180 in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, and the most recent and highest estimate, 751 at Cowessess First Nation in Saskatchewan as well. The Chief Cadmus DeLorme of the Cowessess First Nation did want to emphasize during a news conference today that the findings were not from a mass grave, but were unmarked graves where the headstones had actually been removed. The ground penetrating radar has marked 751 hits, but there is a 10 to 15% error margin in either direction, so the figure could actually be slightly higher or lower than that. In Canada, they have a National Indian Residential School Crisis Line, which is a Native-run crisis line that's been in operation now for the past 12 years. They're available 24/7 at 1-866-925-4419 if you need someone to talk to.
Well, Ogama, you were on fire. I really appreciate you bringing up all that news, and I'm sure there's more to talk about. Go ahead.
I do have one more thing to add. The judge will be sentencing Derek Chauvin this Friday, June 25th at 1:30 p.m. That is tomorrow.
Also, it's an anniversary of Custer's Last Stand. We like to bring that up every chance we get, Greasy Grass. So, hey, up next, we have Wisconsin State Senator Jeff Smith. We're really excited about that, Wendy. Mm-hmm. Comes on periodically. I can't say that word, but
periodically.
That was easy for you. Ooh. Hey, we'll be right back. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Stay with us. Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Over the past year and more, we've all missed out on a lot. Family time, graduations, weddings. And missing those events, we've missed out on even more. Friendships, connections, community, belonging. That's a long time to miss things this important. So don't miss on getting the COVID-19 vaccine. Vaccines are now available throughout Hennepin County to anyone over the age of 16. Just visit TakeCareHennepin.org and sign up to get yours. That's TakeCareHennepin.org.
We have vital information we would like to share with you. The Department of Indian Works St. Paul partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. They provide information on testing sites, isolation space, vaccines, housing assistance, and food resources. If you or someone you know has questions about COVID-19 or has questions to determine if you should get tested, please call them at 651-304-9986. Again, the number is 651-304-9986. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline is open for calls Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986. That's 651-304-9986. Hey, welcome back. Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice. I'll do that again. I don't know what happened.
No, the studio has gone crazy. They wanted to play Jane Fonda's bumper music instead of the one they did. It sounded like.
Oh, okay. Well, we love Jane Fonda. This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Hey, we are super stoked and excited to have Wisconsin State Senator Jeff Smith, and he's a champion of a lot of native issues. He worked on the MMIW bill in Wisconsin, and that's good enough for us to stop in and see how things are going. And he has a long history of working intently with Native American communities. And also his district is Black River Falls, I do believe. Welcome, Senator Smith. It's great to have you on. Whoops, I just muted you. Sorry. There you go. Great to have you on.
I am excited to be here. Am I muted now, Robert?
You sound good.
I'm muted. Okay. First of all, I want to touch base with that. I'm glad I came on a little early so I could hear the show from the beginning for once. And I hope to do that more often. Be on prompt here so I could hear that report. And, you know, you all just give me hope. I always feel so uplifted when I know that there are caring citizens in this country and in your nation, in our nation, for what's really important for our future and standing up for water. I see this Enbridge moving towards, we had some good news recently, right, where the Biden administration stopped one project, and now I see it's going to be shifted more to our backyard here, though, right? So keep up the good work, and I want to stand with you. I would be thrilled to be able to stand with my Native friends and in this and protecting our water. You know, sometimes you got to wonder if these, if the corporations in this country really know what the future is. You know, it is not in their profits. The future is not in their profits. So what, yeah. I actually came on here today. I want to talk about one thing in specific though, if I have time to do that.
Oh yeah, definitely. We're going to make Stan two segments this week.
Great. Okay. Great. Great. I just really love being on here, but I want to talk about voting rights and redistricting and how so important it is to all of us. And it's something that is certainly at the apex of politics right now, as we know nationally with the voting rights that have been rules and laws that have been being pushed across this country from persons who are not happy with the results from 2020. But also redistricting is happening right now. Redistricting is happening right now and is going to affect all of us for the next decade. And if anyone who lives in Wisconsin knows how dangerous redistricting can be to our future, we can't let it happen again. Gerrymandering, that is. So Robert.
We have to just look at the Tricia Zunker campaign and just point that out as such gerrymandering.
Yeah, that's right. So there's things we can do, and we're trying to. I have a bill that I introduced that's redistricting reform that would place the map drawing to a nonpartisan, unelected commission, and we do have the People's Maps Commission that Governor Evers has appointed in Wisconsin that has been already holding public hearings, but they are not endorsed by the legislature, and what they present will probably not be endorsed by the legislature as well. But we want to place that into statutes. We'd love to have that process put into statutes so that we have a fair system. You know, I have to tell you a quick story. When I really became aware of gerrymandering, actually, coincidentally, it was because from a Native American friend whom I was on a commission with about 18 years ago, and I think it was at a lunch when we started talking about this subject, and he told me how, where he came from, in northern Wisconsin, a school district was gerrymandered so poorly or so badly that even though the number of students in the school district of Native Americans outnumbered the white population, they were never able to have a school board member represented from the Native American tribe in that district because of the gerrymandering that they did. And that was at a very local level. So think about that as what the spotlight is on national level, on congressional districts and state legislative districts, but it happens all the way down to school districts. And everyone should be represented. No, it's clearly a big issue. And your voice is not heard if you are not represented.
Absolutely.
Senator, would you be able to just, in simple terms of somebody like me who might not understand what redistricting means, like what, just explain it in like simpler terms, and then gerrymandering also, if there's someone out here who might not understand exactly what that means.
I appreciate that question, Wendy. So every 10 years, as we know, a census takes place. And the census data, once it's collected, is used to determine the balance of our political district lines to be sure that all districts are representing the same number of population. Now, that's the simplest way to look at it. But unfortunately, it's been used... data has been used to actually draw these lines in very skewed ways so that legislators can determine how people vote because of information that has been collected. And I mean, if you look at some of these districts, the reason that came, the word gerrymander is used because over 100 years ago, the first known gerrymander, it actually was by a governor named Gary, G-E-R-R-Y, but it was pronounced Gary. Now we say Jerry. But it looked like a salamander. And so it just became this word that we made up, and it's not democratic. It is not fair. And as I just pointed out about just a school district example, we need to have political lines drawn so that particular communities of interest are not divided. It's as simple as that. Communities of interest should be together, and that may be if you live in the same county, if you live in the same reservation, whether you have the same interests, and your interests should be represented at all levels of government. And that's why it's so important that political lines are drawn in a fashion that you and I and everyone else who have interests, whether it be our environment, whether it be our economy, whether it be our schools, whatever it may be, we should be represented, and those interests should be represented by the people we elect.
I appreciate you explaining that to me. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and it's crazy. It's just amazing, too, because, you know, representation all over the country is so skewed, too, where states have just as many votes nationally as somebody like as big as California, and a small place like North Carolina has the same amount of votes in the Congress in United States, too, Senator Smith.
Yeah, you know, and I'm going to give you a little history lesson here, too, for everyone that's listening, that I find really interesting and exciting, in that the Oneida Nation is one of the five founding tribes of the Iroquois Confederacy, which is traced back to 1142. Why that is important is that our actual system of government was developed using that Confederacy as a model in the 1700s. So that system that we think of as democracy reaches back to the tribes who again contributed to what we think is the way we should be operating as a government and as a people.
Wow, that's great. Hey, Senator Jeff Smith of Wisconsin, District 31, could you hold on for another segment with us?
I'd love to, Robert. Thank you.
All right, that's awesome. Hey, we're going to be right back. And my crack people, Lewis Eagle Thunder, has reminded me that greasy grass is tomorrow and Sunday. So the battle of a little bighorn, like some people like to call, or we like to call Custer's last stand, is tomorrow. So I appreciate that correction. We're going to be right back after this short break.
Stay with us. We have vital information we would like to share with you. The Department of Indian Works St. Paul partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. They provide information on testing sites, isolation space, vaccines, housing assistance, and food resources. If you or someone you know has questions about COVID-19 or has questions to determine if you should get tested, please call them at 651-304-9986. Again, the number is 651-304-9986. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline is open for calls Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986. That's 651-304-9986.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me one. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Hi, everybody. I'm Santita Jackson, and I want you and all your friends to join my new show, The Santita Jackson Show, Monday through Friday, 6 to 8 a.m. Central, on the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Over the past year and more, we've all missed out on a lot. Family time, graduations, weddings. And missing those events, we've missed out on even more. Friendships, connections, community, belonging. That's a long time to miss things this important. So don't miss on getting the COVID-19 vaccine. Vaccines are now available throughout Hennepin County to anyone over the age of 16. Just visit TakeCareHennepin.org and sign up to get yours. That's TakeCareHennepin.org.
Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. But with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pinigigi, and thank you for your support.
If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, you're not alone. Stronghearts Native Helpline can help you through these difficult and uncertain times. Stronghearts Helpline is a free 24/7 confidential domestic dating and sexual violence helpline for Native Americans. Help is available by calling 1-844-762-8483 or by clicking on the chat now icon on strongheartshelpline.org. This message is sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lilia. Partly cloudy overnight with a low of 64, then sunshine Friday and a high of 88. Victor's 1959 Cafe on Grand Avenue in South Minneapolis is now open for outdoor patio service. All of their Cuban favorites are still available for takeout and delivery. Go to victors1959cafe.com or call 612-827-8948.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Hey, Jane Fonda. Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Yeah, what a great organization. Mm-hmm. Every birthday, I do a fundraiser on Facebook for them.
Yeah, you get a lot of money. People donate to that for you every year, I know. And you put your goal is pretty low, and then you up it and up and up it as more people give money and more money. So that's great.
Don't tell my secrets there.
Well, it's a great organization, and
it is.
It's great that you get all that money donated. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, they are. And it's what's really good about it.
Sounds like we're having a barking party. Yeah. We should have our dogs join in.
Good thing our dogs don't have headphones on or they'd start barking too. They would. But one last thing about that before we get back to with State Senator Jeff Smith is that it's really simple because the name is in what they do.
Mm-hmm. Right, the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Well, hey, we have Wisconsin State Senator Jeff Smith, and it's really good to have him on here because we're live also in Madison, Wisconsin, and we do the best of in Chicago. And so a lot of different people all over Turtle Island listen to this show. So welcome back, State Senator.
Thank you. I always do appreciate listening to what you have to say, and I want to learn from you.
Well, I appreciate it. Hey, could you remind our audience of a little bit of your background? Because I think one of the times that you were on, you told us your background. It was really interesting about your political background and how you got started and your first election and where you're at right now.
Oh, I don't know if you have enough time for that, Robert, but I'll do the best I can. So I always blame my wife for my political background because I was just, once we had children, my wife as a teacher said, you're going to volunteer in the school for our children because, of course, she couldn't. She's teaching everyone else's children. So I did that. That, you know, long story short, that just really changed my life. It gave me a different outcome or different outlook on what other people faced and the challenges for our education system and again, for families that may not have been as fortunate as myself. But I was also town chairman in my township, and the environment was the driver for me there. I was trying to protect our town from some development that was threatened here, and was successful at that. But the more I found out that at the local level wasn't enough. I needed to be a policymaker, so I ran for the state legislature. I did win after a couple of tries, and held that seat until I lost that seat in 2010, when there was a big wave by the so-called Tea Party. And then gerrymandering changed my district. But I actually sold my business right after that and became even more active from outside of the arena as an activist, but as an organizer, and organized for around water specifically with Citizen Action of Wisconsin in Western Wisconsin, around CAFOs and some of the things, activities around water that really, I think, inspired me even more so now I'm on the task force for climate change here in Wisconsin as well. But those are important issues to me and have driven me to realize that it's more important how we leave this earth as a legacy to tell what we left behind rather than making money.
Wow, absolutely. I mean, you can't take it with you. And I think what's interesting with some of our friends that are of a different political thought process is that rich people hoard money. And it just blows my mind because I was taught this a long time ago, Senator Smith, is that whatever I give out, I get back twofold. And I find that even with money, if I'm donating money, all of a sudden other money comes to me. It's just, I don't know how or where their mindset is.
And
how much do you really need?
Senator Smith, I just wanted to, give you a shout out and how happy I am. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States. And we're always, trying to educate people about CAFOs. And CAFOs is a concentrated animal feeding operation. And it really is really bad for the environment. It's bad for the water. It's bad for the animals. And it's bad for us. So I'm glad that you brought that up.
Yeah, Wendy, you're right. It's really one of the things I found that I am also was inspired about as I became more of an organizer was that if you bring up water, that is something that everyone rallies around. And when there was a CAFO going into someone's backyard or in their town, if you wanted to find people showing up at a town meeting, it wasn't just one political thought. It was everyone standing up, side by side, once they realized that their water was at risk and a whole lot of other things were at risk. If you were to suddenly bring in a farm of 6,000 cows, which by the way is the equivalent of 130,000 human beings plopped into a piece of property without a sewage plant. Think about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pigs also. I remember there was a smaller pig farm here in southern Minnesota a few years back on my birthday. We went to a town hall meeting. A friend of a friend of a friend, her property was maybe a mile away from this CAFO that they were going to put. And, she just said, I have family reunions on my property now. I have weddings on my property, and if this CAFO comes, I won't be able to enjoy my land the way I used to because of the smell, just the smell alone, not even the water.
Well, Iowa is a cesspool, and so is southern Minnesota.
Exactly. So.
Yeah, and as if you, and I'm glad you brought that up, Robert. I was going to mention Iowa because the thing about those hog farms is that disease permeates the earth. From those, and they cannot continue to keep their hogs there and keep them healthy. They keep moving those CAFOs further and further away, and they have to have this space between them. And that's why we're starting to see permits applied for even in northern Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. Really, it's a big problem. So
we only got a couple of more minutes with you. We're here with Wisconsin State Senator Jeff Smith. How would you like to leave our audience with what kind of thoughts today?
I always like to leave us on a high note, right? Or with something to do. And so two things. I think that we have a lot of opportunity as a whole, all of us, to make an impact. If we vote, if we show up, if we organize, all of those things, they work. And everyone can have an impact. For instance, as I talked in the earlier segment about redistricting, you can go right now and even draw your own maps with the People's Maps Commission in Wisconsin and give samples of what you think a map should look like for legislative or political jurisdictions, and keeping community interest together. That is so important for all of us. So there's things you can do. And when I heard that earlier report before I even came on about Enbridge and though that is scary, I know that people are going to come together about issues like that, like I've seen in the past when people's health and their interests are threatened, they show up and come together, and they forget all about their other petty disagreements they might have had. But when it's their water, they show up.
Wow, perfect. I really appreciate you spending this time with us. And I also have to tell you this real quick. I won't talk too much about it in the future, but I was elected legislator of Ho-Chunk Nation, and I understand that you want a flag, and I'm going to make sure I'm at that ceremony in Madison to get you a Ho-Chunk flag.
Oh, the word got out. You bet, Robert. I want a flag in my office. It should be standing right next to my flag for the United States and for Wisconsin.
Right on. So, Peeny Geegee, thank you so much for spending some time with us. It's always our pleasure, and you are so positive and also on the right side of history. Peeny Geegee.
Thank you very much.
All right. Wow, Wendy, amazing, mm-hmm. amazing.
Yeah, perfect. And left on a good note. And like you always say, Robert, we need to resist, divest, join a group, and run for office. So, there's always stuff for us to do. And even if it's small things, you can get involved in so many ways in your community to make a difference.
Yeah, what a breath of fresh air, really, mm-hmm. seriously. Hey, I wanted to, with the last minute here or so, I wanted to get Lewis on for a second and help me out, correct me a little bit on my presumptuous last thing about you're the Lakota Ogola guy here, so will you speak the truth here in the last minute?
You want to speak about
What's coming up with I made the mistake about Custer's Last Stand.
Oh, sure. Yeah, so we have 145th anniversary of the Battle of Greasy Grass. That's what the Lakota call it. History knows it as the Battle of Custer's Last Stand, where the Lakota, Cheyenne, and Arapaho took down and annihilated the 7th Cavalry and Custer in their attempt to completely annihilate the Lakota way of life. So That's 145th anniversary of that happening. There's a couple battles before that. The Fetterman's War. They call it the Battle of the Open Hand. The Battle of the Rosebud. The Cheyenne know that as the battle where a girl saves her brother, a Cheyenne woman. And we also must remember this weekend of our women warriors in our history of indigenous peoples. They rode with us. They fought with us. And even today, in line three, with this terrible news of the Biden administration, once again, you know, going and turning their back on the indigenous people like they did at the Dakota Access Pipeline. We want to remind them that we have strong indigenous women that are going to lead us and continue to lead us forward in preserving our water and way of life for everybody.
Wow, well put. Peeny Gigi, thank you for coming on and doing all you do, you and Ogama, and behind the scenes of Native Roots Radio. Hey, we're going to be right back with our sacred animal portion of the show, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake.
Stay with us.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Life is a journey, and the Doherty Family College will help you get where you want to go. Located downtown Minneapolis, this affordable two-year college provides free textbooks, a laptop, meals, career coaches, one-on-one mentorship, and a Metro Transit pass, making DFC the perfect pathway to a bachelor's degree. Turn your dreams into reality. Connect with a counselor today at dfc.stthomas.edu.
COVID-19 vaccines are safe, effective, free, and approved for everyone over the age of 12. Getting vaccinated is the most powerful tool to keep ourselves and loved ones healthy and to end this pandemic. Get your vaccine and get back to what matters most to you. To learn more about scheduling a free appointment, visit ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine. Again, that website to schedule your free COVID-19 vaccine is ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
We are Haluza Nation.
Hey, welcome back. Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Moose has a low howl. Did you hear that?
This is the most authentic, I think.
Yeah. Very sacred. Very sacred. Hey, I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy Pilot. Wendy has been an animal advocate for many years. She is a volunteer, humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and she works on animal issues at this local level. Very popular segment here. We talk about our sacred animals, our relatives with wings, tails, hoofs, fins, gills. What else?
Suckers.
Suckers, what?
Yeah, octopus. They have little sucker suction cups.
Okay. All right. Hey, welcome, Wendy. Tell us your name. Tell us your name, and I see our uncle is listening and
awesome.
Watching, too.
Okay. My name is Hanajihihani, and that means cares for them, and I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. also known as Mashkehanajinga, which means walks on white clouds.
In the sacred voice of Ho-Chunk.
Yes, and I always appreciate the name, so thank you very much. And as Robert said, I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States. I really enjoyed talking to Senator Smith today and how he really understands how those big giant factory farms are really so bad for the environment and the water and the land. So I really we need people like him on our side to keep things cleaned up. So, you know, if you eat meat, and, you know, most of the all the meat, I'm going to say this, all the meat in the grocery stores are from these CAFOs or factory farms.
Yep.
So if you can afford to, find a local farmer, find, you know, a local co-op where the meat is coming locally and not from these factory farms. And if all the people who could afford it would buy from these local people, the tides would change, right? Yeah. Because these factory farms are cheap meat. It's cheap meat. And most people can't afford to go to their local farmer and buy meat from them, right? They just can't because the meat is too expensive. But we need to change the tide to make it more affordable for more people. So,
and I think that people that can't afford it, try and do a meatless Monday.
Right, one day a week.
And that would change the world, too. Have some pasta,
right?
Some broccoli, and a slab of butter or something.
Something, right? Yeah.
That sounds good.
Exactly. But yeah, so I appreciate that. But today, what I was going to talk about, and I am going to talk about, is an article that I found. It's from a couple of years ago, but I thought it was really interesting, and I wanted to bring it up. And it's from Science News. And it's titled "Urban Coyotes Never Stray: A New Study Finds 100% Monogamy." So they're monogamous. This is from the Ohio State University. Coyotes living in cities don't ever stray from their mates, according to a new study.
Whoa.
The finding sheds light on why the North American cousin of the dog and wolf, which is originally native to desert and plains, is thriving today in urban areas. Coyotes living in cities don't ever stray from their mates. The finding sheds light on why the North American cousin of the dog – I'm reading the same thing over again. Okay, here we go. Scientists with the Ohio State University, who genetically sampled 236 coyotes in the Chicago area over a six-year period, found no evidence of polygamy of the animals having more than one mate, or of one mate ever leaving another while the other is still alive. So, of course, the coyote, if their mate died, they would find another one. But as long as they're together and they're alive, they don't.
And so what's going to happen to us? You're going to find another one when I die?
No. But I really thought that this was really interesting. This was even though the coyotes existed in high population areas where there's plenty of food to eat, which are conditions that often lead other dog family members, such as some fox species, to stray from the normal, you know,
monogamy.
Yeah, exactly. So they'll go and they'll cheat on their coyote mate. So, but I found it really interesting, and I was kind of curious. You know, we have a bird bath right outside our window here, and I always see these like two cardinals, and you could tell one's a female, one's a male,
because.
Well, because the male
is looks
very
so much better,
pretty and beautiful,
yep,
and the
okay.
and the female's a little bit more dulled, as I will say. But I was curious, you know, because I see them all the time, and I was like, well, I wonder if these are the same pair or if they mate. So I looked it up, and they are. They're monogamous. Cardinals mate for life, and I was really surprised to hear that. But there's also 25 other adorable animals that I found that mate for life. And I was really surprised at some of them. Well, lovebirds.
Aww.
Yeah. So, you know, if you go and you buy lovebirds to have them in your house, you have to buy the pair because they would be brokenhearted. Bald eagles, Robert. I think we kind of knew that. And we talked about that in the past, that bald eagles also will stay together and mate for life unless one of the partners die. Coyotes, we just said that. Atlantic puffins, Those are an animal that we don't really see that much about. Little old field mice. They're kind of these little rodents that I thought that were really cute. And I'm really surprised that they mate for life. But isn't that adorable?
That is.
Seahorses.
It's cute when they put little hats on them, too.
Yeah, exactly. Seahorses mate for life. Seahorses.
Big belt buckle. What?
Seahorses.
How would you know that?
And, well, there's scientists out there who study this kind of stuff.
That hang out with seahorses.
They do.
Right on.
And the male gives birth to the babies.
Okay. I'm like, mm-hmm. Is this a dream?
Albatrosses. Albatrosses mate for life. Beavers. Beavers mate for life.
Oh.
Yeah. Isn't that really cute?
They hold hands, or is that beavers?
They hold little their little paws. Yeah, and they lay
they
on their backs.
They don't have little hands?
Yeah, they have little hands. Geese.
Gooses.
Geese mate for life. Swans. Pigeons. Yeah. Pigeons mate for life.
Oh.
I'll never forget this one day. I was working at the Phillips Wagenstein building over at the University of Minnesota. It was a really, really cold day, and it was like 20 below, and the wind was blowing. And I was walking down the hallway, and there's a window. And there was these two pigeons.
They wanted
in. They were standing in the corner of the window out of the wind. And they were like hugging each other by hugging their necks, like they were hugging each other.
We should try that later. Our anniversary's coming up.
And I really thought that was so cute, and I wish I could have let them in, but I couldn't. Gray wolves. We've talked about that too.
Yeah.
Prairie voles.
They're what the
like
heck
a,
is that?
They're like a small little rodent. They kind of look like miniature prairie dogs.
Oh, I want one.
Yeah, they're very, very cute. Titi monkeys. Those are titi monkeys. They mate for life. Isn't
cute.
That adorable? Monk parakeets.
They look bald too, like old people, those monkeys.
Some of them do. Black vultures.
Mm.
Now, you'd think a vulture, right, wouldn't really care about their mate, but they do. They
share food too.
They mate for life.
Vulture food.
Gray foxes. Scarlet macaws, those beautiful birds. They mate for life. California condors.
Oh my God.
Mate for life. Shingleback lizards. Mate for life. So what I'm trying to say here is that, you know, if we have a coyote hunt and animals are killed, if they mate for life, it's really sad if they lose their mate. So
yeah, that's a good call.
Yeah, there's
it
quite
really
a few
is.
Others, but I don't have any time here. But I think I got the cutest ones that are available here for the cutest ones anyway.
Yeah. Well, that was a good segment.
Dick deer. Those are little deers.
Oh, what? Okay.
Dick deer.
Hey, I would like to end with these thoughts.
Gibbons. Go ahead.
If you're listening to the show, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, and run for office. Special shout out to Wisconsin State Senator Jeff Smith for being on. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier.
Pinigigi to Wendy, State Senator Ogama, and Lewis behind the scenes in the news. We'll be back tomorrow.